D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick will return in the final hour. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, will join us at 1 o'clock. So Willie will be back in time for our chat with Elliot Friedman. So before the break, Derek, you asked me to look up some way too early mock drafts from the past. You asked me where Jaden Daniels was listed in the 2024 way too early mock draft. I found Todd McShay's on ESPN.
And what prompted my question was, the person said that, you know, Cam Ward wasn't being talked about and all this other stuff. So, but go ahead.
Todd McShay posted May 4th, 2023. Jaden Daniels, not in the first round in this mock draft, way too early mock draft in May of 2023, looking ahead to 2024. You also asked me about Joe Burrow.
Ooh, I know he was the top 10 pick.
Joey Burr, yeah.
I found Todd McShay's way too early mock draft from 2020, published May 2nd, 2019. Where's Joe Burrow? Oh, he's not on here.
Wow, okay.
Surprising.
So
very surprising.
Things can change rapidly. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I received on my personal text line, not driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, though I am open to it, I received a text from Jared Stillman. Now,
we said his name too many times.
Yeah.
Well, depending on your age, you could say Beetlejuice. You know, you say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice,
say
Beetlejuice,
Man.
Or Candyman. I say Joe Hendry. Yeah. Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. Anyway, Jared Stillman texts in, because I think this was in response to my point about fans who want the Titans to pass on a quarterback this year and wait until next year to try again. He said, instead of chasing a quarterback by going all in on Ward or quote-unquote waiting for next year, how hard is it to do what Tampa Bay did? They let Tom Brady come to them. Then they signed Baker Mayfield, have been to the playoffs like five straight years without using a single pick.
Okay, so who's going to be your Baker Mayfield? Who's going to be your Tom Brady?
Well, Jared would have loved for Sam Darnold to be Tom Brady slash Baker.
But we're living in reality and in real time right now. Who is your Baker Mayfield right now, and who is your Tom Brady? Matter of fact,
at
who
this
is
very
your
moment?
Exactly. No, I'm saying like going into next season, who would be the Titans, Tom Brady, and then further – or you could say this season, because they would have to do it this season to have 2 years to wait again for another guy. So who is the Tom Brady? He's not out there. Dan Darnold wasn't even Tom Brady. So don't even put him in the same boat as Tom Brady.
Well, Geno Smith just re-signed, right?
He got traded.
Well, he did, but then he signed.
Yeah,
recently.
He resigned.
So he's not going to be a free agent.
No, he's
next
not.
Right?
I think he got an extension with the Raiders.
I think that just happened.
Yeah.
So
again, who is your Tom Brady, and then who would be your Baker? So you're essentially...
How about Brock Purdy?
No, San Fran's going to end up signing him.
Okay.
They are.
I'm fresh out of ideas.
Yeah, so... But I understand what you're trying to get at. But I'm looking at it right now. Who would be your Tom Brady, and then who would be your Baker Mayfield? You're rolling the dice. It's like, oh, you expect... It doesn't... You gave me Tampa. I can give you other teams that tried that method and it didn't work. The New York Jets. And we don't know if it's going to work with the guy they threw underneath center now. So the Jets are headed more so toward not working than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So when you give me situations like that or scenarios, I can give you one that it didn't work. You know? Again, tell me what Cam Ward doesn't do. Like, give me this list of things, like, because he's not worthy of being the number one pick. Well, on Todd McShay two-way early draft that he does, way too early, and we forget about it because it came way too early, he didn't even have Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels on his list.
Correct. The summer before those drafts, according to Todd McShay, who was at ESPN at the time, He did not have Joe Burrow in the first round of his way too early 2020 mock draft. Mm-hmm. He did not have Jaden Daniels in his way too early 2024 mock draft.
Exactly. So
he had Caleb Williams and Drake May near the top of his 2024 way too early mock draft. He did not have Jaden Daniels.
But I just look at it from this standpoint. Man, I've seen way more things he does extremely well than I have seen the things that he doesn't. And the things that he doesn't do quite well are the same things you said or what was being said about the quarterbacks that we consider, you know, at the top of their game, whether they're elite or franchise quarterback. Majority of those guys had warts. Some, just like Cam Ward, others may have been different. But those guys that are successful that got drafted in the first round, they had those warts. I don't see enough to tell me not to draft him. Let's just say that.
Kenneth is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenneth, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Adam? Derek, how's it going today?
Good,
going
thank you.
All right. I called in about a month ago with a quote about bringing Malik Willis back and drafting Cam Ward. I don't know if y'all remember that.
No, I remember that one.
But it's shameful to say, but just a lot of people that have been down on Cam Ward, it's just right out prejudice. They do not want a black quarterback, regardless of how good he's done or whatever. They just do not want a black quarterback here.
Thank you for the call, Kenneth.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm respectful to everybody, your views or whatnot. In this one, Kenneth, I can't agree with you on that. I don't think... Let's just say this. I want to believe that when you're talking about the Titan fans, they are just looking at him as a player. And again, I'm asking them as a player, what are his hangups so much so that you don't want to draft him first overall? I believe that when Titan fans are calling in or texting in and saying we don't want Cam Ward, it's not because he's a black man. I think some of it is because of what Jared's saying. And they believe Jared. And they listen to Jared, which is great. Keep on listening to Jared. Okay? Please. He does an excellent he's wonderful on air. Great. But I think some of their opinions is sort of, you know, it's sort of biased because they listen to Jared. And maybe they're biased because they listen to us. But I think, you know, we got a wide variety of opinions here. On Jared's show, it's just his opinion. So you're listening to it, and that's great. But I don't think the Titans fans are looking at Cam Ward and saying, we don't want him because he's a black quarterback. That is just me. I don't want to believe that. I'm not going to take it there. When I talk about certain stereotypes, that's what I was talking about earlier with, you know, black quarterbacks, but quarterbacks in general. They want to show now that, listen, I can do more than just run the football. I can throw the football, because that's essentially what you're paying me to do, throw the football. So I want to show you that I can throw the football within the pocket. And sometimes, I believe sometimes, because it was so prevalent that that's what you can do or that's all you can do first, they tend to want to prove a lot of people wrong. Even the guys that are at lower, you know, Pavia. He's probably another example where I'm sure this season he's going to go out there and try to win, but he's going to show you that I can be a pocket passer too. Like, I'm a dual threat. I can do both. So to me, I don't think, Kenneth, that the Titans fans are looking at this and saying, you know, I don't want him on our team because he's a black quarterback. Now, I'm sure there are some out there that may be like that. But if we're talking about, you know, the majority, they just, for whatever reason, they're finding fault in his game.
I was waiting for a text message like this. I hadn't seen one in a long time. So kudos to you, unnamed texter, who texted in and said, Cam Ward quit on his team at halftime of his team's bowl game. Tell me you're selfish without telling me you're selfish. Okay. Because this was a big talking point during bowl season. The Pop-Tarts Bowl. Mm-hmm. The illustrious Pop-Tarts Bowl, where the winning team consumes a living Pop-Tart alive on the field at the end of the game.
Oh, well, he gets toasted, okay? He's not alive.
He gets burned alive. He gets burned alive.
But he's not alive anymore. He goes on to Pop-Tart heaven.
He gets burned unalive, okay?
That Pop-Tart was alive going down into that big-ass toaster.
But again, when they eat him, he's not alive anymore. That's all I just want to say.
It's cannibalism as far as I'm concerned.
But it's only Pop-Tartism.
It's neither here nor there. So I pulled up an article from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic about this very subject. And Bruce Feldman writes this, quote, "From talking to sources inside the Miami program, no one was surprised that Ward didn't finish the game. The Athletic learned that Ward agreed to start the game, but there was no timeline in terms of how long he would play. A big part of the reason Ward played, according to those program sources, was because he knew that if he opted out, 10 other players would have opted out as well. But if he started the game, those others would start too. I've had conversations," meaning Bruce Feldman, "I've had conversations with multiple Miami coaches and staffers who have repeatedly gushed about Ward's leadership skills and competitiveness over the past year, and I doubt those sentiments have changed much. I know they haven't from a few of the people I have talked to since the Pop-Tarts Bowl."
And that is why that has not come up at all in evaluating Cam Ward, because they have made it very clear. Listen, he didn't quit on his team. He didn't. And for bowl games outside of the playoffs, bowl games now, all of these kids are leave because they don't want to take a chance of getting hurt. So I commend those that come and they plan a game. But don't you see the bigger picture here? He just said it like, if I play, we all play. Isn't that type fans what you want on your team? A guy that is just going to go out there and do whatever he needs to do. Why? Because he knows if he does it, everybody else is going to do it.
What was the quote from Mike Borgonzi in the article from Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated that was written a couple of months ago?
Did he say something about the culture? And
Borgonzi wanted the number one pick to be someone who can drive the culture. Mm-hmm. You can be blinded by the talent, but it's also important to have someone who can drive the culture. And unless I'm missing something egregious, mm-hmm. I haven't seen examples of people talking about Cam Ward's lack of leadership ability.
Well, they brought that up right during the bowl season, but then it seemed like it was quickly doused. Like that fire didn't even have time to reach the front. It was just out before it even started, because they got word that, listen, no, don't try to do this to one dial player, no.
Anthony on our text line says, BS, if your teammate did that to you, you would be pissed.
No, I wouldn't. In a bowl game? Again, if... sometimes it's like you can't... Sometimes it's hard to... I got to understand that there's a possibility more times that more likely that person has never been in that situation. Like, being on a college team or being on a pro team, and guys either, you know, sitting out or guys choosing, you know, through it because of whatever, you know, whatever their reason, they choose to not play in that game, okay? So don't – if I'm that guy on that team with him in today's football and I'm his wide receiver, if my quarterback doesn't play, I'm not playing. I am not playing. If I'm a senior – and I'm a top 15, top 10 pick, if my quarterback, who's the leader of our team, if he's not playing, guess what I'm not doing? I'm not playing. I'm not. Why should I play? This is the guy I've been rolling with the whole season. If I'm going to go out here and look better, it's going to be with him, not the backup quarterback who I have no rapport with. Okay? So if my starter says, hey, Mace, I'm going. All right, Cam, let's do it. If he says, man, I'm just going to go to first half, and this is the reason why I'm doing it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. I'm playing as long as you play. So to answer your question, I wouldn't be upset with him. If he chose to play a quarter, I'm playing a quarter. If he plays two quarters, I'm playing two quarters. Now, if he goes over that, it's like, Cam, like, dude.
You're going number one, bro. Let's chill. Exactly.
You're on your own now. But outside of that, no, I would have looked at him knowing the landscape of sports now, college sports at least. Nobody's mad at him. Nobody said anything about Joey Bosa. I think he didn't play the last couple of games in college. He missed the whole season. I know he got hurt, but he could have came back. He could have came back, but he chose not to. I mean, they tried to make it a big deal at first, and then it was quickly doused, and it's never been brought up since.
615-737-1025. We have a lot of reaction to get to, so we'll do that next. 615-737-1025 if you want to join in on the conversation. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Daryl. Daryl, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
Good afternoon.
Got a question. Here's something that's very perplexing to me. So presumably the best player in the draft is going to be the number one pick. The best player who is going to be drafted, if it is Cam Ward, would be the best quarterback in the draft. How is it that the best player who's going to be, if it is Cam Ward, did not win the Heisman? If he's that good, how is that possible?
Thank you for the call, Daryl.
Thank you. It happens all the time. Geno Toretta. Didn't he win Heisman at my University of Miami? I could be wrong. Big Joe, he knows all the Heisman Trophy winners.
Yeah, you're going back too far for me, my friend.
Peyton Manning didn't win the Heisman.
Peyton Manning didn't win the Heisman. Now, Charles Woodson did. Klingler out of Houston. Or Andre Ware out of Houston. They won Heismans.
Marcus Mariota won the Heisman.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota.
Sam Bradford won the Heisman.
How did that work out for Marcus?
Sam Bradford won the Heisman. So you can't.
Jameis Winston won the Heisman. Yes. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. Robert Griffin III won the Heisman.
Yeah, so there are a lot of individuals that are exceptional college players, and they end up winning a Heisman. But it doesn't ultimately translate once they get into the NFL. It just doesn't. And some guys may play extremely well, but they're not going to be considered a Heisman Trophy candidate. There are a lot of guys that play better, if you look at the numbers, than the actual Heisman Trophy winner. But they don't win it, or they are not even in the discussion. It was a quarterback for Hawaii some years ago where he was putting up, like, just gaudy numbers because of they were in the Miles Davis. I mean, some years ago, I think Miles Davis was the head coach.
Was it Colt Brennan?
I think it was Colt Brennan.
Or Timmy Chang.
It was one of them. Their numbers were gaudy.
Yes.
Gaudy. Heisman Trophy candidates didn't win it, but their careers never mounted to anything in the NFL.
We talked about this, I think, last week, that the top 10 players in terms of passing yards all time in college football, most of them did not become viable starters in the NFL. Now, I understand the counter argument, which Jared made to me when we were having this discussion, which is the top quarterbacks don't spend 4 years in college, usually. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But there is not a direct correlation, in my opinion, between winning the Heisman and having a successful NFL career. There are examples of it. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy. He had an outstanding rookie season. But for every Jaden Daniels who wins the Heisman Trophy, you have a Marcus Mariota or a Robert Griffin or a Johnny Manziel. I don't think there is a direct link between winning the Heisman Trophy and having success at the NFL level.
No, and Cam played Heisman Trophy level football. I think he finished, what, third or fourth in the ballot. So I don't think he – I think they take three. Was he at the ceremony?
He was not a finalist. I believe there are three finalists.
Yeah, so he was the fourth guy. He was fourth behind, obviously, Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter won with 552 first-place votes. Mm-hmm. Ashton Jeanty finished in second with 309 first-place votes.
Dylan Gabriel
and then Cam Ward.
And look what Dylan – nobody's even mentioning Dylan Gabriel as a first or second round pick, maybe late second, third round, somewhere around there. But he's not even projected to be that. So, listen, whether you win the Heisman Trophy or not, you know, just like those that make the argument, well, he wasn't at a winning program, or he didn't win, which they're saying he didn't win either a championship in his conference or he didn't win a national championship. Well, there are a lot of guys that didn't win their championship, nor have they won a national championship, and they turned out to be great pros at the quarterback position. So I don't think there's no correlation between, you know, any of those two things when talking about Cam Ward. So I just want and people are giving me their reasons, but it's the same reasons I've heard over and over and over again. Like, I can say that about just about every quarterback that comes out, what people are saying. Give me something else, like something that I'm going to say, oh, okay, huh. Now, one thing I do, like, for instance, when I'm looking at him and then I go to his numbers and everything else, his percentage when it comes to pressures, he ranks low. But so did C.J. Stroud, I believe. It was either C.J. Stroud or Caleb Williams.
You're talking about his completion percentage when pressured.
Yeah, the pressure, like his pressure meter, however they call it. Mm-hmm. When he's pressured, you know.
Are you talking about the amount of times he's pressured? Or
no.
He does
when he does get that pressure.
Yes, his completion percentage when he's under pressure.
Yeah, exactly, because he was a 70, but then it dipped down. So the same guy, I mean, C.J. Stroud, I believe it was C.J. Stroud. His was low too. So stuff like that, like, okay, all right, maybe we can get him, once we get him in here, he can, you know, versus he can see it a little bit better. Even though I thought he did a really good job at, you know, when he got pressured, he delivered the ball and made some plays and got outside the pocket, but that number was low. Would I like to see that number higher? Absolutely. But when you talk about everything else, it was 1-1-3-1-2. So, again, give me something.
So, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you took the time, you did your homework. You went back and watched a lot of film from Cam Ward. You went back as far as high school looking at Cam Ward tape. So, as you watched Cam Ward graduate from high school to Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami, and I thought Jared made an interesting comparison yesterday when talking about the things he does like about Cam Ward, which is Cam Ward almost followed the path of a baseball player, right? If you liken Incarnate Word to single-A baseball, Washington State to maybe double-A baseball, and then Miami to AAA baseball, he worked his way through the minors, quote-unquote, to be ready for the NFL. So as you watch the tape, let's just talk about the progression you saw from him at the college level. When you looked at his tape at Incarnate Word, and as you watched him move on to Washington State in Miami, what impressed you most about what you saw from Cam Ward?
I think from Incarnate Word to Miami, I think he started to become a lot more aware of the pocket, I think. I'm not sure, because even if you watch him in high school, some of the stuff that he's doing, some of the stuff that he did in high school, he's still doing, but even better now. And he looks, he has the same mechanics, the same movement, but they've sped up. but he's found, even in high school, he's found his sort of peace within the pocket. You know, does he need to get better? Obviously, yes. He's going to need to get better. You always strive to get better at everything you do. But if we're talking Incarnate Word to Miami, I think he has a piece in the pocket now where, you know, he understands how to get out of certain situations. He understands how much time he can buy inside, like outside the pocket, you know, before he has to throw the ball away or before he tries to make one of those few, because it's not a lot, on one of those few sort of Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre, you know, Aaron Rodgers type throws, or Josh Allen, where he's just trying to use that arm strength and trying to get it in there. But you see the progression of him getting more and more comfortable in the pocket. And the one of the most important things, I think, you see his confidence. You see his confidence from Incarnate Word. You see the leadership start to develop. You watch him in Incarnate Word. Then you watch him at Washington State on the field. And then you watch him at Miami. It is like you're seeing him grow as a guy that understands the pocket and a guy in his leadership role. Like, I'm the guy. You can see that in his play at all three levels, how it's getting better and better. Now, let's talk about, like, the actual play. Again, I think his movements had sped up, and they've sped up tremendously. He releases the ball, especially on those quick, like, we're trying to just get it out quickly to the receiver on the quick screen. Again, it's almost Caleb Williams, Patrick Mahomes-esque, how we can get rid of the ball with speed at an angle that many quarterbacks can do. Why? Because he's a baseball guy. So that ball comes out of his hand so quick, it's like pop, and the guy gets it, and he's gone. Okay, so that's one. Two, you watch him make these intermediate throws and how he's able to lead that receiver right where he needs to go or stop him. The Florida game, they were running 3-by-1. They were running level routes, which means an out, a seam, and then an out, a deeper out, like a corner route. The second guy in ended up becoming the third guy in. So he kind of took an inside release and ran a deep 17-yard out. All the while, the corner was to the outside because he had to take care of the seam route going up the sideline because now he becomes the two. So he winds up. He made these throws consistently. He anticipated and hit the back shoulder of the receiver. And why did he hit the back shoulder of the receiver? Because he knew the defensive back was on the outside. And he can play both the ball going deep as well as the ball coming intermediate. Those are throws that Cam Ward is making consistently. It wasn't just one time. Oh, and then the being on the right hash and throwing it on a dime to the left hash, a crossing route. He didn't just do it once. He didn't do it twice. He didn't do it three times. He did it many times. So those intermediate throws, he's making them. The hardest throw to make is that deep out. He makes it with ease, and it's accurate and precise. Now, is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. But I'm just showing you, like, the throw. And then the deep ball, oh, man, that thing's pretty. That thing, he can drop it just like Jaden Daniels dropped it in the bucket in college, or Caleb Williams. That's how he does. He drops it in the bucket, and he can lead you. He can throw that back shoulder. He makes every NFL throw, and he makes them consistently that there is. There isn't a throw he can't make, even in the red zone. Even in the red zone. He was at the, again, I think it was Florida, or it could have been Virginia Tech. Or it might have been when he was Washington. I watched so many tapes. But he was on like the 8-yard line. And the guy, the inside guy, the third guy in, ran like a fake slant and then went over the top. Now, mind you, He ain't got much room to play with. Man, he dropped that thing over the defender and dropped it right in the back of the end zone. And he did that consistently. So again, people, now give me some in-depth stuff like that in regards to his negatives. That's what I want to hear in regards to. And I want to hear this from Jared. I really want to hear this from Jared.
Okay, well.
That's what I'm tasking Jared to do. Like, okay. Give me the that is so negative, you can't draft him number one. And I don't want to hear what everybody else is saying. I don't.
All right, well, if you have a response to Derek, 615-737-1025. We will take those coming up next at 615-737-1025. The Atlanta Braves country road trip is coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators and 1025 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge in Bridgestone Arena this coming Wednesday, April 16th, for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be free giveaways like hats and t-shirts, plus you could win autographed baseballs and free Braves tickets to a game of your choice. Also, the first 15 people in the door will win a pair of Preds tickets to that night's game, which is the season finale. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/event. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick expected to rejoin us in the next segment when we take a break from our wonderful Cam Ward discussion to talk to Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL's insider. So, Derek, you're still waiting for someone to give you some in-depth analysis about Cam Ward. And lo and behold, here is Indy Ben.
Yes.
Indy Ben, who might be a little bit biased.
Exactly.
No, not Indy Ben.
His favorite city is in the title of his name. Do Indy Ben's friends call him Indy Ben, or is he just Ben?
I'm sure they call him. I'm sure there are some that do call him Indy Ben.
I would love to know that, Indy Ben. Do your friends also call you Indy Ben, or when you're in Indianapolis, are you just known as Ben? Because everybody's from Indianapolis. Indy Ben texts in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and says, my reason I don't believe in Ward and him succeeding is mostly about the situation he is entering. The Titans are far, far away from competing and don't have the key pieces needed for a young quarterback. You need a top-notch offensive coach to tutor him, an above-average offensive line, a dependable tight end one, and at least two quality wide receivers. Titans have none of those. This is a situation where I could easily see the Titans ruining Ward within 2 to 3 years, which is why I'm all in for the pick at number one overall, he, of course, being a Colts fan.
Let me address that. Okay, let's just start with...
All right, let's start from the top.
Top notch.
You need a top-notch offensive coach to tutor him.
I'm not saying that Brian Callahan is top-notch, but, I mean, I think he can get the job done.
An above-average offensive line.
I think they are going to be above average. They went out and they did exactly what the fan base wanted them to do. The glaring problem that has been with this team for the last 2.5-3 years, the offensive line. They went and beefed up the offensive line. They got an all-pro. They got a guy who's been a starter on a very good franchise and more. They go Ziegler, who's been an all-pro or pro bowler. They go out and sign a swing tackle, I believe, a few days ago. They're going to move J.C. Latham to right. Skoronski was getting better last year. So they are building this offensive line. Now, again, you still haven't given me anything in regards to Cam Ward. I'm talking about Cam Ward, you know, because Caleb Williams didn't have the best offensive line.
And by the way,
they were horrible.
And by the way, I'm sure you could do this same exercise with the Colts.
Yeah.
And have similar questions. Do the Colts have a dependable tight end one? No disrespect to Mo Alley Cox, but I'm not sure I would call him a dependable tight end one. You could argue about the receivers, Michael Pittman, etc. I think they're fine. I think their receiving core is fine. Do you trust Shane Steichen to be that, what did he call it? Top-notch offensive coach to tutor Anthony Richardson. We've seen how it's worked out for Anthony Richardson so far. I don't mean to pick on the Colts.
Anthony Richardson needs a break, though. You know,
I think that's more so Anthony Richardson than anything else.
Well, I don't know. Like, he likes to tap on the helmet. You know, hey, yeah. Let me get out real quick.
I just think it's his. I think they overvalued the talent, and it may take a little bit longer than what they originally expected for him to develop into that guy they want him to be. Not to say that he's not going to ultimately be that guy, but I'm just saying I think there was a miscalculation in regards to this one drafting him so high. So, again, a receiver, dependable tight end. Yeah, I mean, listen, I know people, you know, look at – I want to say Jonnu Smith. Chig Okonkwo. I know people look at Chig and you know, because of what Jared is screaming, he's horrible. Chig got better last year. His numbers end up being pretty good. Is he a bona fide starter in this league? He hasn't proven that just yet, okay? But he has proven that he can make plays. He has proven that he's getting better catching the football. I don't know what was wrong with him the first half of the season, the first four or five games of the season, but he started to get better as the season went on. So tight end, well, he is a dependable tight end, but is he a tight end one in a lot? It's probably not. So, yeah, they can upgrade on that. At least two quality wide receivers. Y'all going to stop disrespecting Calvin Ridley, okay? Just please stop that. The kid's a player, okay? Is he an elite receiver? Probably not, no. But don't sit here and act as if this guy isn't a good receiver. He is a number one receiver for this Tennessee Titans team. Don't everybody want Tyreek Hill? Don't everybody want Justin Jefferson? Don't everybody want Chase? Yes. But you know what? There are only a couple of those guys out there. So, Calvin Ridley is a damn good receiver. He had to work with these two guys this past season. You got to be a damn good receiver for that to get numbers out of that. Don't disrespect the guy as if he's just somebody out there that can't play in this league. He can play.
Now, the Titans certainly need to address the wide receiver position, they which need we will to address get into
yes.
probably tomorrow. But Calvin Ridley, you know, I remember sitting here with you, Derek. I think I was in that mm-hmm. chair, and you were in this one. When Will Levis and Calvin Ridley were having issues at training camp, and Calvin Ridley, what did he say? He was a little tired.
And what
right?
did I say? Can't do that.
You went off on it yeah. for about an hour at least. It was wonderful radio. But, you know, Calvin Ridley, again, is like, you're obviously better at, you know, identifying this than I am. You know, would I put Calvin Ridley anywhere near the top tier of number one wide receivers in the NFL? No. I certainly think he has the capability of being a number one receiver. Is he a number one receiver on a more balanced team? Probably not. But there is something there. But I do agree that the Titans need another receiver. They absolutely, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, Chig got worse, then got better, but never got back to what he was the year before. Chig's not mid even, and I loved him. Ridley's a great receiver, but you need another receiver to help a young quarterback and a great tight end. Well, at this point, unless the Titans draft a tight end, mm-hmm. and where they're drafting, they're not drafting Colston Loveland or Tyler Warren at the top of the draft, and those players won't be available when the Titans pick in the second round. So unless you're drafting a mid-round tight end, it's going to be Chig Okonkwo and Josh Whiley again, right? And is that great? No, it's not. It's certainly a weakness, but they're, you know, the receiver issue is absolutely something they need to address.
Yeah, they do. And you're right with that assessment. They need more than just Calvin Ridley. I like Vance Jefferson, but I think he's more of a three than he is a two. So they're going to have to find that two. So again, y'all didn't tell me anything why, like, what's wrong with Cam Ward? And tell me, did I not say this? I said, I think it's more so y'all not trusting the Titans than it is the quarterback. Because if you look at the quarterback, no one's really giving me anything. It's more they don't trust the organization. And again, I get it. You know, that's why I said the Titans. Y'all got to really understand and realize where your fan base is at right now. Y'all got to know that. And when I'm saying things on the radio, it's not personal to me. Even though I do take personal about the team at times, you know, saying things is not as bad as it sort of seems. But I'm straight up in calling it black or white. But I mean, I don't know. This team, whereas they have their faults, I get it. But if you're in a position and you're saying, I don't want to draft Cam Ward because of the organization, then I think we need to state that more instead of making it seem like it's a Cam Ward issue. That's why they want to draft him. Because no one. And I still want Jared, and I know Jared to do his homework. I know it. That's why I asked. That's why I said, Jared, I want more than just the sort of stuff you've been hearing. Like, you watch the tape. Tell me, like, what is it that he consistently does that makes you worry or makes you think he shouldn't be worthy of the number one pick? I'm not saying that he's better than Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying that he's better than Caleb Williams. None of this stuff. What is it that doesn't make him a number one pick? This don't point to past drafts where he would have been past drafts. No, like, what is it that he shouldn't be drafted number one? Let me know.
Think on it at 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Cam Ward discussion in just a little bit, but we are going to be joined by Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider. We'll discuss the state of the league and, of course, the Nashville Predators. That is coming up next at 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.